Welcome back, fiends, to Handle with Scare, presented by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Our show discusses horror movies and the phobias they emphasize. Throughout the month, we've been taking a closer look at pharmacophobia and the fear of medicine and drugs in horror. And, tonight we are taking another pit stop, or actually going back to the Irish countryside and waters in Shrooms, which came out in 2007. Of course, I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Grindhouse Zombie. And Zombie, a rare first-time watch experience for you on this one. And I know this is not a gem. It's not even a hidden gem. It's probably going to be one of the weaker entries in regards to, like, the actual use of medicine and drugs when it comes to this phobia. But there was a very distinct reason why I selected this one, especially after our Fear of Religion deep dive, because it does kind of also delve into that as well, to add a little bit of believability to one of the ghost stories, which is very centric to the plot of this movie. So we kind of just got to get into it.
So it was a first time watch for me. And I, as we discussed pre-show, this movie was definitely, weird. Weird was the word that I, so I'm going to go back to it and I'm going to watch it myself when we're not in the, you know, in the Twisted Tuesday setting. The Twisted Tuesday is so fun to watch with people. At times it can be hard to focus and take away details. Mm-hmm. For me, ultimately, any movie that has a character named Bluto in it, I'm pretty much in. I mean, you can pretty much count. I'm just there. Yeah, but with these people and they have a little penchant for doing the old magic mushrooms, which I honestly think with this movie, it might have been a missed opportunity to just, like, let's just all go camping and then find a pile of magic mushrooms and then, you know, shove them in our butts or do whatever it is people do with mushrooms and just go from there. But a lot of the story is really good. The visuals in this, they have this, I'm not usually a fan of movies that are, like, too dark. And when I say too dark, like too dark to visually see, there's some stuff in here that it uses it really effectively. I think this is going to be fun to talk about. I enjoyed watching this and I'm going to go back to it.
Now, I should say by that, he does not mean like Arctic Hollow level of darkness where you can't actually see thing and it's a light, red light and literally nothing else happening and just a bunch of scuffling. No,
definitely not.
Just throwing it out there. A little bit of a throwback.
That was a level of grandma's attic where you can't see shit and there's not a single window. And it's like occasionally the only thing you can see is a puff of dust. And you hear somebody going like across it. Yeah, that was no, this is better than that by a long shot.
And definitely less bored on that front. But yeah, just as a reminder, guys, be sure to join us for our Twisted Tuesday and Thursday watch parties, which we hold every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time over at kick.com/reallydrunk. We also have a pre-show usually hosted by Grindhouse over in our Discord on those nights as well. So a lot of good stuff to look forward to. And, you know, again, I should say the Thursday nights are reserved for, like, new releases. So if you're looking for something new, maybe you haven't seen something to add to your, you know, 2024 year in horror reviews, best time to do that, because we're not always talking about new movies when it comes to the podcast, unless we just have a dedicated month for that, which usually doesn't happen. So on that note, Shrooms, which came out in 2007, here we have a group of friends who are stalked and murdered while looking for psychedelic mushrooms in the Irish woods. Okay. So we're back in the Irish countryside, as I mentioned. You know, we had a pit stop here for our Fear of the Irish, obviously. And we have five American college students who are joining a local for a mushroom picking session. And of course, to sample some fresh fungi off the nature's floor to get some of that all-natural high that accompanies it. Now, one of the girls of the group, who is our lead, Tara, ends up munching on a deathcap mushroom, despite basically being told not to, which results in her suffering a seizure and gaining the ability to experience trance-like foresight. We have premonitions back. Now, you know, this isn't necessarily Final Destination-esque. She does see things in the future, only in her case, it's not just like a fatal accident. Well, it is fatal, but it's basically her getting to see her friends die before her very eyes, essentially. You know, we kind of like have that moment where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to try to stop this. But, of course, all that is kind of for naught. But I think for me, the part of this movie that makes me laugh is just this idea. You know, like, I don't know too many people out there who would be like, you know what? Let's fly across the Atlantic Ocean to Ireland in order to just, you know, drink this really obnoxious sounding tea made from these magic mushrooms. Instead of, like, doing normal things in Ireland, like, you know, actually seeing, you know, the countryside, you know, maybe killing a bunch of zombies with, you know, nothing but a shovel. I don't know what else goes on there. A lot of drinking, obviously. But, you know, it's just one of those moments where it's like, yeah, you know, like, you surely do learn something new. But I guess it's, you know, college days, so I kind of just had to throw that to the wayside, really.
So I've been to Ireland, and I can tell you that the Irish countryside, in a lot of ways, is as dense and dark as this movie portrays it to be. The hard part, and I think you kind of touched on it, is that I didn't really have to have the magic mushrooms to see where this movie was going. I kind of figured it out pretty quick. At the same time, though, I mean, it's a fun enough watch, and I mean, there's definitely some characters in there that I would classify as the douche, and I think everyone here pretty much knows how I feel about the douche. Let's just hang him in public square and be done with it. But the ghost story element is they kind of used a magic blender in this movie, and they had a bunch of different things happening. And as much as you could maybe see it, because you could kind of see it, at the same time, the story in and of itself was like pretty fun. You know, you look at the poster for the movie, and it's like, honestly, the poster is about the stupidest piece of commercial art that I've ever seen in my life. Like, this, it's just not like, what the fuck is that supposed to be? Is that supposed to be a big white skull with like an octopus tentacle going? Like, come on. But it's nice that the story was at least a little bit deeper than the poster. And for a lot of horror movies, when you get there, like, you're kind of already winning. You know, if it's better than the poster, it's like, I mean, let's talk about Cocaine Crabs for a second and look at the poster for that. The poster for that was a fucking work of art. And that was just the director's, I think it was his daughter that did it. I mean, I think it was just magical. And like, how much fun we had with that movie. Now, is this movie quite as much fun? No, it's not. But it's still a good drugged out teenager slasher movie. Mm. It's not going to be a 10 by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a solid entry and it will keep you fairly well entertained.
Yeah, this movie really kind of puts you in the perspective of how much of this is because I'm on a trip, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, obviously the ghost story element, which is told through Jake, there's an element of that where it's like, you know, when it comes to like campfire tales, you know, a lot of the times what ends up happening is, you know, you're always trying to match the story to the setting. So, you know, it's kind of like a mixture of like, am I telling a ghost story or am I telling you a true story? You know, you'll never know. I'm just trying to scare you shitless either way. And of course, you know, these visions that Tara is having, she is seeing some of these entities that are described from this campfire tale. And it all stems from a nearby abandoned orphanage that was run by an order of religious brothers, and the dreadful acts of abuse that happened there is, of course, terrifying. It sounds like it could have easily happened, especially given what we, you know, talked about in our Fear of the Irish, especially about the clergy in that regard as well. Now, I will say, for a movie called Shrooms, when we're talking about drug-induced sequences, this movie doesn't, stick to, like, the norms when it comes to that. You know, we don't have, like, our cocaine crabs moment where everything's, like, spiraling out of control. here, we have one of our douchebag characters wandering the forest, and we see him talking to a cow who also talks because he's on a, obviously he's high as fuck at this point. And of course, you know, after watching South Park, now every time I see a cow, I have to think like, oh fuck, make sure it doesn't have like a record player because it's trying to mind control you. That's just ingrained in my membrane. So anytime I see a cow, that like that's my first thought, or like, you know, I just think of Twister, which of course, you know, we got the reboot of that coming out. But just the idea of like being on this sort of high and then like stumbling across this talking cow, I thought was very original. You know, because obviously like there are times when you're seeing shit and like sometimes, you know, it could just be a shadow. But in this case, it's a talking cow, and like the direction that it leads this character in is just so hilarious to me because like they make such a big deal about getting your rocks off in this movie, specifically when it comes to things over in Europe, like Dogen. So the fact that they brought that to the forefront for his death scene, I thought was so perfect. Even if it does kind of just lead to him getting castrated at that point.
There's certainly an understanding where it's like, my decisions have consequences, right? I mean, and this, one of the things I thought this movie did really well is like kind of laying those on the forefront for you. Like at the same time with, especially like with the talking cow was one of those, was the first time this movie where I was just like, what? like, okay. And I just kind of went along with it. Like, okay, sure, the cow's talking. That makes total sense. But the funny part for this movie, at least for me, with there were definitely some moments where they captured, you know, the Irish countryside for what it actually is. And it's a simpler people with a simpler life doing simpler things. The talking cow was probably one of those moments where it was like, well, I've sat down here and podcasted with you and you've seen my cat walk up and hop up on my lap and hop up on my desk and it talks to me. And it's like, it was one of the more believable moments where it's like, well, sure, that happened. So why not? You know, because I have conversation with my wife's cat all the time. You know, we have it and they're very in depth. We help each other a lot. And so, it's not one of those things where the movie does a good job of making it not seem crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's like where I'm like, I'm not sure how you convince me that this is okay, but you have me convinced. So let's just see what happens.
Fair enough. So after the telling of this campfire tale, you know, it's not long before this group is soon being menaced by this trio of boogeymen, for lack of better words here. We have our axe-wielding cloaked wraith straight from the campfire tale, who's also known as the Black Brother. We have Baghead. Not really. We have the sack-masked menace, monikered the Lonely Twin. And of course, we have our feral man that goes by Dog, or at least a character that Jess definitely relates to the most in this movie. So yeah, that's our trio. And of course, one by one, our mushroom munchers and, you know, we kind of have like our deliverance hicks nearby who get snuffed out, of course. all of which is seen by Tara through her trippy magic mushroom triggered visions that she sees. So we have a moment where, you know, we're just desperate to escape these killers and save as many as we possibly can. Tara tries to use, you know, her foresights in a race against time to warn everyone else of these maniacs. And I love the fact that, like, this movie really tries to, like, convince you, like, okay, this is more of a supernatural slasher. Because, like, let's be honest, when it comes to slashers, that is, I'm not gonna say it's uncharted waters, because it has been done a couple of times, but it's definitely one of the least taken routes that we've seen with the slasher subgenre.
You're absolutely right, and I think there's a reason for that, and the reason is that it's hard to pull off. Right. And say what you want about this film. I mean, and there's a ton of stuff to nitpick if you really want to, but it does pull off the super cerebral, yet somehow repressed, just like, I don't know what's happening. And then in the end, nothing is my fault because, oh, shocker, I was under the influence of something. And that, like, I mean, I think that's just like modern day life right now, right? Like, I'm not responsible. But it does a great job of that. And it, going through the whole thing, I mean, one of the biggest things with Tara for me is that she comes out as there's spots where she's a bitch. There's spots where she's like super compassionate. There's spots where she's just like trying to be your friend. And you don't really know which one of those to believe, you know? So as you're going through it, it's like, well, she could be any of those. So, you know, which person am I listening to? And them throwing the little kind of ghosty part in it, just, it's one of those moments where you kind of go, okay, now, wait a minute. Like, what are you? And then, but then you stop thinking. And once you stop thinking and just kind of enjoy it, then it just, it makes the ride better. But it makes the sort of grand reveal at the end, like, even more satisfying. You're just like, oh, well, like, I sort of thought maybe you could do that, but I didn't know that you were going to do that. And because you didn't give me enough little blocks to connect through the whole thing, it's like, I didn't know where you were going. And once you got there, it was like, all right, that was satisfying. I like it.
Yep. And of course, you know, we can't be running through the woods without, you know, thinking of, you know, you know, taking the edge off, you know, outside of the dogging, this movie does spend quite a bit of time using just, you know, mud and water in general to just throw at our females in here. So they do get dirtied up and scuffed up throughout the course of this movie, kind of like Tomb Raider-esque in that regard, if you guys have ever played the reboot of Tomb Raider.
Nothing wrong with that.
It works.
Yep. You put a girl in a white tank top in the woods and she doesn't come out dirty, there's something wrong with that.
Yep. I will say, like, I think my primary gripe with this movie has really nothing to do with the reveal. I know for a lot of people, the reveal is kind of like the one thing that it's like, it's been done better for sure when it comes to, like, the killer reveal. especially in, you know, other, you know, foreign films out there. But it does kind of, the reveal did kind of feel like a situation where it's like, okay, this is how we want it to end. So then they just started from the end and then just figured everything else along the way. But my primary gripe comes more in regards to the lack of gore in this movie. You know, this is a slasher that doesn't really have blood in it.
It's probably the one place where they really could have done better. Mm-hmm. And especially as you have this collection of characters that are slowly killed off. I mean, they don't. I mean, maybe there was a point in making the kills a little bit more subliminal. And the hard part there is that there are also movies that have done that better. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of caught in this enigma of like, we wanted to do this, but we've also known that there's people that did this, and they sort of seem like they picked the middle ground, and the middle ground left them very much in the middle. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it didn't work. I mean, it worked on screen, but then when you got to the thinking about it, it's like, well, I mean, so many of the characters in this, when they are quote unquote offed, it's like, if you're going to be a horror movie, pick a direction, right? And that's probably my biggest gripe of this movie is this one never picked a direction. It was never going to be super subliminal, and it was never going to be super gory. It tried to like pick this like weird middle ground, but it made it a lot of what happened. The setting was good. The characters were decent, whatever else. But there was this blah factor, and the blah factor could have been amped up by the kills.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just revolved, though, like they were so honed in on like that supernatural element that they were kind of just like shoehorned in a very specific direction in that case. Because like when you're looking at the kill count of this movie, I mean, it's decent. But like in regards to the kills, like, you know, we have someone getting beat to death with a tire and iron. We had the guy who was talking to the cow who got hacked on he got killed by castration, and then he got hacked on the head with an axe. We did have a few like off screen kills in this as well, but a lot of it was either involving an axe getting stabbed in the gut with like a knife, and we also had like medical scissors involved in the very last kill. In this movie, after the reveal, when Tara's making her grand escape and all of this. But it's just, it's interesting to me, like, I don't know if they were just shying away from the gore because, like, they were trying to do something different. Because for me, a lot of, like, the Irish horror films have been very subdued in that regard. So, like, I guess for, like, the region, it made more sense. Like, if this was out of France, I feel like this would have been a completely different movie and the violence would have been turned up tenfold.
Oh, if it came out of France, you would have had somebody with their entrails hanging out of their asshole and they would have showed it to you. Yeah, it seems like, it does seem like with movies that come out of Ireland and Scotland, they do tend to give you a little bit more. The horror is subliminal. The horror is up to you, and you have to like sort of figure it out. At the same time, though, this is a movie that could have benefited for like one bottle of fake blood would really, I mean, and the good bright red fake blood, yeah. Right? I mean, maybe not quite Dawn of the Dead bright red, but like somewhere like some compromise to that. But they didn't really do it, and. And to your point, it's like there's a lot of the kills that are off screen. And it's like, you know, I'm normally okay with that, but you've got to balance it with something else. And they didn't really do that. You know, they just kind of kept hammering along. And it was like, yep, so somebody died. And it was like, well, like I picked up that they died. But like, you know, could you give me a little more detail on how they like. So, I mean, I don't know. If you're going to make a movie that's a splatterfest, make a movie that's a splatterfest. I'm fine with that. If you're going to, you know, whatever movie that you're going to make, if you're going to have a slasher movie, there's a couple of basic things you have to do. And they just got like right up to the edge on most of these and then kind of backed off. And it was like, well, okay, fair enough. But it's like, I need a little bit of, I think you called them earlier, the deliverance hillbillies. I need some deliverance when it comes to my slasher. And it's probably the one place where this movie fell borderline unapologetically short was a deliverance on some of the kills. It's like, if you're going to give it to me, just, you know what? Bend me over, lube me up, and give it to me hard. Because that's what I want. I don't want to be tickled. I don't want flowers. I want it given to me. And it's probably the one place this movie didn't do that. And it's weird. It's like, why?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I feel like some of the stronger scenes, at least here, are all taking place in the orphanage or even at, you know, the hillbilly's home in this case. And, you know, I was kind of like doing my research. I guess like both of them are pretty familiar faces when it comes to Irish television. So that's why they were chosen for these roles. But, you know, they do a pretty damn good job of just like scaring the absolute daylights out of poor Holly when it comes to like their inbred facial expressions and then basically talking about bestiality. Which, you know, if you're gonna freak someone out, it's just like, yep, that would, definitely do it. But I love the moment when, you know, Holly is just, you know, in this shack, just like asking them like, hey, do you have a phone? And sure enough, they do, they have a landline. You know, she picks it up to try to call for help, only to find out that, the landline doesn't work. And then, you know, they just retort like, well, you didn't ask if it was working.
Oh, the devil's always in the details, right? And you get the answer to the question that you asked. Yeah. Another one of those times where it's like, I mean, with the phone part of it to me, that was what I honestly think is a super old trope where it's like, you know, whether you're sneaking around the mansion or you're doing and you find a phone and it's like, oh, and it feels like salvation. And you pick it up and it's like, you just it, like nothing, right? It just doesn't work. It's like, come on, guys. I mean, yeah. But I think that ultimately is another piece of this film. And it's, I hate to say it, it's overall level of mediocrity where it's like, it just, it has this great setting and it has what is an interesting story, but it's the deliverance part of it. And it just, one of those levels where it didn't deliver again. And it just, it brought you right to the edge and then pulled you back. And it's like, you know, at some point, you know, daddy has to go to work. So you got to let him get to where he's got to get. But the movie in a lot of respects just doesn't do that. And I was kind of surprised by it too, because like it started out for me, you know, as a viewer, it started out like pretty interesting and pretty hot, but like it never got you above that level where it's like, we're going to do the next thing. It just kind of like was like, eh, and then just kind of medium. And I mean, when the movie's all said and done, pretty medium.
That's fair. So other than that, in regards to Tara, you know, we do have quite a bit of times where she's like weeping and screaming at, something basically before, running through the woods to, basically save her own ass at this point in time. You know, much like we see from like the teens out of like, you know, the Blair Witch Project, and, you know, Shrooms for the most part does take that similar approach when it comes to like being minimalistic, you know, being fairly bloodless when it comes to the kills, as we've mentioned. It does take more of like a firm stance in regards to like using surrealism overall to like get that sort of like creepy tone. And, you know, like I know like that's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Much like the tea that they consume, you know, in this movie with, you know, all the magic mushrooms and, you know, maybe not taking the entire, you know, cauldron, you know, of tea, which is probably going to be enough to, like, send you on a trip for probably forever. If we're being real, and could potentially kill you at that point in time, much like I ended up doing to our dogger in this case. But, you know, I really appreciate the setting of this movie because, like, obviously the woods in itself is just a very scary place. But, like, when you're talking about, like, these really, like, rundown countryside buildings, too, like, obviously they're creepy in their own right. So just having that sort of, like, combination felt just right to me when it came to at least, like, going for that surrealism here.
I think you're right, but at the same time, it's like when you're out in the woods and doing, you know, the woodsy thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, surrealism is kind of almost implied, right? I mean, it's just kind of is what it is. And they had like a ton of opportunities to, I mean, to just to pull it in and to make it close. And they just all those moments, they didn't really do it, you know. And I kind of struggle to see why, because it's like you can make the woods scary. It's not hard. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. The Irish countryside being what it is. And it's like, and I, like I said, I've been there, and it's like, it's one of those places where it's like, you can walk through it during the day and it's like the most idyllic thing you can be in. Right. And at night, it's like, I feel a million miles from anywhere. And a lot of it was just not, I don't know. It just, it's the deliverance, I think. And I hate to keep using that word, but the deliverance of the thing, it's like, just deliver me, get me there. And a lot of it just didn't quite do it.
So we do spend like a decent amount of time, at least like near the riverbanks in this case. And this is where kind of like we have Jake and Troy finding Tara there, where they eventually get to, you know, the abandoned house, which is, you know, the orphanage in this case from their earlier campfire tale. You know, this is where they are trying to reach out for help. You know, you have the guys who, you know, are kind of like going in first and like try to basically scout the surroundings there to make sure that it's safe. And, you know, Troy does get offed by our monk, or, you know, the Black Brother here. We have this sort of Toxic Avenger-esque moment with Jake, where he's just, like, running and, like, jumps out of the window, not realizing, like, how high up he is. And I'm just laughing the entire time, because it's like, yep, your leg is fucked. And sure enough, we do kind of have, like, our, you know, body horror element when it comes to the bone protruding through. In that case, obviously, like, nothing to the extent of the calcium deficiency that we got the prior week with Old. But, you know, that scene always makes me laugh in shrooms here. You gotta know your surroundings, man. Like, surely, like, you would have known you're on the second floor in this case. But I guess, you know, like, that's just a side effect of, you know, tripping balls in this case.
Well, I mean, yeah, so, I mean, drugs are bad, okay, right? I we've talked about it at length. It's one of those movies where as much as the body horror elements are present, they're definitely not executed. Now, why they go to the lengths that they go through, like, in these scenes is, I mean, it's like, it's great, but at the same time, it's like, so why didn't you give me like a little sprinkle of that earlier? Mm-hmm. You know, just a little something. It's hard to watch. The leg break is one of those things where it makes you just go, oof, like, oh, that was, it makes you uncomfortable. And I think maybe that's probably the best part of this movie, is that as you watch it, you find yourself uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And for different people and for different reasons, you're just like, it kind of making your skin crawl. The jumping out the window and the leg break is, it's yucky. It's just yucky, man. But it's done so well that it's like, you know, the worst part of that whole thing is, it's like he survives having his leg broken, you know, and then while he's like resting and catching his breath, then things go south in a hurry. And it's one of those probably defining moments for the film where it's like, you did this, and then, I mean, and I suppose maybe it's an overdone trope, but in this movie, watching this, it was one of those things where it's like, you're finally giving this guy a break, and then, oh, by the way, and it's like, oh, well, sure, why not? I mean, because why not? We're making a horror movie, so let's just enjoy it. Mm-hmm.
Well, he did get a break, just not the one that he wanted in his case. So not only does he break his leg, but he also has his heart broken in a sense, because, you know, he finally lets Tara knows, you know, that, you know, he loves her. And of course, that comes in his dying breath as the monk creeps down from a tree and kind of just hacks him to death with an axe at that point, which causes Tara to run for her own safety before, you know, she too also gets attacked by the monk. Or does she? Because we know where this movie is going. So she's found a conscience at this point. She wakes up and, you know, she is on a stretcher being lifted out of the woods via helicopter. And, you know, she's going to put into the back of this ambulance where, you know, we see one of our hillbillies being arrested for, you know, what had transpired here, you know, in the woods here. And, you know, you can kind of hear her just like mumbling under her breath, like, you know, he's not the one. Just constantly repeating it over and over to this paramedic who is, you know, busy like cleaning her wounds because, you know, she has a pretty like nasty gash on her head from the attacks. And I'll air quote that, obviously. And this is when, you know, we have like that revelation moment when, you know, we hear a phone ringing. And, you know, the paramedic, you know, realizes, oh shit, like it's not mine. You know, we see Tara lifting her hand from under the, you know, the sheets. And, you know, we see that she's holding one of the cell phones of one of her dead friends that, you know, she thought that, you know, our killer had stolen. And then we get a flashback, and this is when we have, you know, our lucid vision dream moment when it's like, oh, the POV of these dreams is actually from my perspective and not of the killer that she thought it was. And it's just like, I think for a lot of people, when it comes to these sort of reveals, it has to make sense. Now, I think in the case of shrooms, it does not work as well as some others, because you do kind of like have that realization of like, well, wait, you were with someone else at the time when this person was murdered, so how could you be in two places at once? It's not really like that sort of like gotcha type moment, kind of like what we got out of something like, you know, High Tension. I think the reveal in this one really throws people off, where it's like, if you're going to make a supernatural slasher, you know, stick to that lane. And maybe, like, don't try to jumble too much at the end. Because, like, I've talked to a few people about this movie. And, you know, obviously we were just talking about, like, twist reveals with our last week's selection as well, like, with Old. And, you know, in that one, like, the reveal made a lot of sense. There's a reason behind why everything was happening. But in this case, it's just, like, like, knowing, like, the intricacies of, like, where people were in this movie and it just, like, not really adding up to, like, have her being revealed to be the killer. It's just like, but wait. No, that can't be it. but it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to say, like, the twist ending of this movie, like, makes me feel differently about it, like, after, you know, the first watch or the second watch, you know. In this case, but it's definitely one that, like, if I have, like, my finger on the pulse, at least, of the people that I've talked to, like, this is one that has shied a lot of people away and has kind of, like, brought their scoring down for the movie. Because, like, yes, they did have similar complaints when it comes to, like, some of, like, the clunky aspects or the lack of blood in this movie, which is very apparent, like, when you're watching it, or the lack of the other bees, for that matter. Which is also important for a slasher. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know how you felt about the twist in this one, but you did mention, like, you basically saw this one coming.
Well, yeah, okay. So, yeah, I saw it coming, and then so a couple of points. Yeah, so when it comes to a slasher, it's, you know, it's okay if a movie tries to rise above the level of the three B's, as we call them. But if you're going to do that, you've got to bring us something special. Mm-hmm. And it, ultimately, this movie didn't. It wasn't so good that you can forgive that. At the same time, I mean, the ending, I did, you know, I did like it, and it was tense. And then I'm thinking about it now, and you brought up high tension, and I'm like, that's just that example of, well, someone that did it better. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, okay. So this is one of those movies, I'm going to have to watch it again, and I'm going to have to really, you know, come to a good mental consensus about what I thought. I did enjoy watching the movie. It overused the woods, but a lot of movies do that, so that's not a new thing. Characters were decent. The kills were decent, except for they didn't give us enough blood. The twist at the end, I mean, it was fun, but I also think it was telegraphed. But I think the actress did a pretty good job of, you know, like making it tense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just especially like with the blood on the hands was for me was something that was pretty effective, that I was just like, oof, you know, it kind of got me. You know, overall, this movie's, you know, it's probably not going to end up on my favorites list overall. But I'm going to watch it again to make sure that it wasn't something that I missed, because I think when you make a movie where you bring a bunch of Americans to Ireland and then you plunk them in these woods and you try to do this, we'll call it this sort of stalker slasher slash paranormal thing. It's kind of a tall order. And while this movie didn't deliver on every aspect of it, it still made a fairly effective movie that was fun to watch. So I think I'll go back through it, and if I have something more to add, I will definitely let everyone know. But overall enjoyable, but like I said, that for me the twist, like I saw it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, I just saw it.
It's because you had a premonition after ingesting a death bell mushroom.
Yeah, it was the magic mushrooms that definitely did it for me. I just, and you know, it, I saw it. I saw it in a vision. And then beyond that, I also met some nice alien friends and a talking cow. So I can't really complain. It was good overall.
Yeah, I think for me, the ending of this movie kind of like embodies what I wanted out of Scream 4 for the ending. You know, when it came to Jill. Now, Tara in this, you know, after we have that like sort of like epiphany moment with her realizing that she is the killer, she really does a good job of conveying like wanting to stay hidden and like keep the cards close to her chest. You know, we don't really get that sort of reaction in front of this paramedic, you know, because she doesn't want him to know the truth. You know, you have the moment of like fear of being found out. So instead, like in that moment, you know, she tries to like basically like outsmart the guy. You know, she's basically like mumbling like, help me. As you know, the paramedic like leans in closer, and it's like this is like our gotcha moment, at least in this case for like the final kill, because Tara ends up stabbing him with like these trauma shears and presses herself against the back door window of this ambulance, which like that shot is just it's a good way to end things. So like we have our moment when, you know, she gets free, you know, she escapes, runs into the woods. So, you know, it does kind of have like an open end when it comes to like, okay, what's Tara's fate? Where's her state of mind at this point, you know, as the film ends? So like, I'm glad they left things there, but I love the idea of like, oh fuck, like I need to play it cool in this moment just because like, I can't have him know the truth. And then of course, you know, we got the final kill there. So It worked really well in that regard. So at least like the second half of like the reveal like really works well. So I feel like even if people don't like the twist, they can at least appreciate like her like trying to wrap things up. You know, when we're talking about slashers, you know, we can't have loose ends. So it's like, nope, this guy's out of here.
Well, it's a slasher movie, right? So, I mean, you've got to have, in the end, you've got to have a final girl. Well, even though it turns out that the final girl is also the killer. And again, like I said, we said before, it isn't the first time someone's done this. But it's kind of one of the more creative ways they've done it. Mm-hmm. And I'm ultimately okay with that. Just like I said, when you get into the movie, it's like I did see the ending coming, and it was a little bit of a letdown. And I can't specifically point out one reason why I saw the ending coming. I just saw it coming. So it is what it is. I mean, I watch a million horror movies a year, so it's like trying to surprise me with something new is going to be hard. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, you know, people made a movie. It was entertaining. Story was ultimately a little convoluted, but it's not the worst thing either. I mean, we watched Cocaine Crabs and we loved that. So if that was not a convoluted story, I don't know what is. Fun movie. Just you gotta give me. If you're going to walk the fine line between A and a B movie, you've got to give me at least one or two of the Bs. And this movie decided not to do that. I hate to say that it would have elevated it, but it would have elevated it.
Yeah, Tara definitely kind of has that sort of like distraught, like Kirsten Dunst look to her. You know, throughout this movie. I guess it's like the best way for me to describe her. Which, it works. But, you know, it's just funny to me, like, they do, like, try to portray her as kind of like that girl next door. Like, even though, like, she has, like, three completely different sides to her, like, as you mentioned earlier in the show. Now, I don't know if they ever plan to make a sequel. But, you know, it is a slasher, so sequel bait, you know, is very common thing. So they did leave it open. Probably not to see a sequel either way, though. But much like you, I did kind of get confused when it comes to the poster or, you know, the DVD art that they went with. But, hey, at the end of the day, here we had... you know, a movie that works on some levels, could have been better, could have been worse. You know, it's just, I feel like, you know, if we're talking about just like Irish horror in general, you know, we've seen a lot of like low budget, you know, movies specifically coming out of this region. And, you know, for the most part, like they have, I'm not going to say, like, they've been absolute barn burners, but, like, they've been pretty good. So it's just, like, obviously, like, there are going to be other ones that are falling below that line. Shrooms is, unfortunately, like, one of those. But, you know, it still is a trip worth taking. But, you know, who knows? Maybe being under the influence would have made it better. Maybe not. But at the end of the day, I love the approach they took with the ghost story and tying that into the premonition and the reveal, and, you know, just the talking cow still gets me every time. Like, I want to see more movies take that sort of approach when it comes to being on a really bad trip. Not all of, like, the stardust and, you know, all of that shit and spiraling out of control and a bunch of funky colors, all that shit. No, give me more talking cows, please.
When a movie tries to give you a straightforward story and then at the same time confuse you, that always interests me. And this movie did that. So it's again, it's definitely worth a watch. It coming out the other side, you think what you think, right? So it just kind of is what it is. But a fun watch.
Absolutely. So looking ahead next week, We have another movie that I have not seen since I saw it in theaters. It's been quite some time. Next week, we have The Lazarus Effect, which came out in 2015, which has Olivia Wilde in it. Obviously, the reason why everyone probably went to go see the movie, myself included. And, you know, obviously, when it comes to, like, those sort of demonic movie, I can't remember much of the movie, I'll be honest. So that tells you probably where my head was at when I was watching this. I was just too distraught just looking at her. But it does kind of, like, fall in, like, that sci-fi horror realm. So that should be an interesting discussion next week. But I will say, when it comes to black-eyed, you know, demonic women in horror, still does the trick.
Well, it wouldn't be me if I didn't try to throw a zombie-esque movie in there every once in a while whenever I get the opportunity. Yeah, I it's one of those movies where I did watch it again recently after we talked about it. And I was like, I should watch this again and make sure it doesn't suck. and it's kind of like any other horror movie. It has its good points and it has its bad points. Ultimately, I enjoy it, but I don't think it's great. But it falls under that category of, you know, hey, let's make this drug to make X effect, right? So it that's kind of where we're at with this. So I think the discussion will be fun. I mean, Olivia Wilde's obviously fun. And the hard part probably in that whole thing is that all the dead puppies, it's like, just makes you sad. But if it doesn't impact you somehow, it doesn't leave an impact and doesn't leave a memory. So There you go.
All right. So that's coming up next week. Of course, we'll be watching that on Tuesday night for our Twisted Tuesday watch party. So be sure to join us for The Lazarus Effect, streaming at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday over at kick.com/humblydrunk. Outside of that, I know I got some stuff coming up this weekend. We have a event at the drive-in. This is kind of like the precursor to Flashback Weekend, which is the bigger horror convention out here in Chicago, which is typically early August. And the people who organize Flashback Weekend are the ones who operate the Dixon Drive-In, and they are doing their Of the Dead, basically, Dust to Dawn, which is Night of Living Dead, which they have the 35mm for, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, and the Crazies. So it's going to be a very long night. I'm going to have to open that day. I'm going to have to drive down there, and then I'll get back probably around sunrise, and then I'm going to go into work at 2 p.m. instead of doing my 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. like I normally do, because I would probably be a zombie if I did that and just pass out on the floor or something. But yeah, so it's like, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to see Night of Living Dead. It's always a good time. And, it, you know, I do tend to watch those movies at least once a year anyway. So, you know, might as well see it at the drive-in. Looks like weather is actually going to be better for a change. I know the last couple of times we've kind of, I'm not gonna say got in rained out, because, you know, rain doesn't stop the drive-in, but, you know, it does make things hell for, like, the vendors at the events. So at least they wanted to deal with that like we did for the last go around with that. So yeah, looking forward to that. We'll see whether or not my buddies have any new hoodies, because they usually come out with like 4 new ones a year. And, you know, I know you've seen a couple of the ones that I have. So we'll see if they have anything specifically Of the Dead in this case, because I know they've already done they've done Dawn of the Dead for the hoodies, but nothing beyond that. So fingers crossed, hopefully we'll have some more zombie stuff coming, at least on that front.
Well, keep me on the list. I like an extra large, keep things roomy. I'm super jealous. It sounds like an awesome time. I'm still sort of contemplating, could I get there and back by its time to go to work on Monday? I probably could. we'll see. But I'm jealous. It looks awesome. I hope it's a great fucking time, man. Is Jim going with you?
Yeah, Jim's going to be there. One of my other horror buddies, Mickey, is also going to be there. I'm not sure about my nephew. I still got to bring it up to him. But he usually goes with us to the drive-in or to the conventions if he is free. I got to see what his schedule is for the weekend. But it's always a good time. And obviously, like, the money that they make at this and also Flashback Weekend just helps, you know, keep them maintaining that drive-in location. And, you know, let's be real, like, the drive-in, you know, isn't a common thing anymore. Like, yeah, sure, like, I have one 20 minutes from the house, but they, as I mentioned to you pre-show, like, they don't do any horror, they don't do any, like, R-rated films. So the one in Dixon, granted it's 80 miles from me, is always the one that I would typically go to because they do have, like, these sort of special events that they specifically do. So, yeah. This is the precursor for their big convention coming up, which looks like it's primarily, I think, like, one of the bigger movies, at least for, like, the reunions that they have this year is for The Thing. But I saw, like, they also have, like, Eli Roth and Sam Raimi as some of the headliners as well.
Wow. Well, that none of that sounds awful, so good for you. I wish we had a drive-in around here still. I think I told you our last close one closed 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's disappointing that people are not still. Well, that isn't true. People are still enjoying it. I just don't know if it's at least for around here, if it's a money-making venture anymore. But it's like trying to find, you know, 50 acres close to town to put up a movie screen and only use it Thursday through Sunday. Like, I suppose I sort of get it, but yeah, I miss the good old days of just doing that. So, you never know. You might see me show up. If you see a maroon Dodge Charger come roaring in the parking lot, it's me. Okay. So come over and have a beer and
yeah, we'll see what Grant, the zombies Grant just going to be, Grant just going to text me like, turn around. I'm like, huh? What?
No.
And then run me over.
Nope. Not this time. Nope. Tires are all fresh. Brakes are all fresh. I got no reason to not be there. So.
Right on. So again, guys, join us on Tuesday for the Lazarus Effect 2015. But in the meantime, hope you guys have a good week and we'll see you for the next one.